Blog Talk Radio.
You got to believe, no matter what you're doing, what you believe, you got to believe. Just got to believe. You got to believe. She has problems here. bear with me for a minute.
Okay.
Hey, brothers and sisters, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're happy to have each and every one of you all. I think we about got it right. So let's start. I was hoping that Evangelist Ursula would lead us in a word of prayer. But I think because of something going on here, she might have gotten kicked off. But, hey, we're going to be obedient to the word of God, that's for sure. Audio feedback here, 2-6. Hallelujah. We're going to try to switch this over to okay. But it's working, that part working. So I can let that go. Okay, I do apologize again. But there is an evangelist, Ursula. I'm going to ask her if she'll give us a word of prayer. Again, I do apologize for all the difficulties that we're having here. But hey, praise God. It's all for a reason. Ask Evangelist Ursula, will she give us a word of prayer?
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We come before the throne of grace this morning, God. We offer up praise, worship, and honor to you, Father. We rebuke all distractions in the name of Jesus. We cast them down to the pit of hell in Jesus' name. We rebuke it, God, in Jesus' name. We want you to show up in spite of what's going on, God. We pray you through the good, the bad, and the different. Whatever come against us, God, it may rise up, but it cannot come to pass. It must flee in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for another day, another opportunity to praise, worship, and honor you, God. It's all about you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, God, no matter what it is, what it look like, what it feel like, what it sound like, God, we gonna praise you through it in the name of Jesus. We offer up praise, worship, and honor to you. We bind off sickness, death, and disease far from us, God. We are your people, and you are our God. Hallelujah. And your word says that greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. So we stand from a point of victory in the name of Jesus. It's already ours. It's done. You hung your head. You said it's finished. It's done. It's over. Hallelujah. So whatever you want, whatever trick you want to throw on us, Satan, whatever method, whatever you want to do, devil, we see you, we recognize and we resist you and submit to God, hallelujah, and you got to flee. We plead the blood from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. We walk in whole health, sound mind, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke and bind cancer. We rebuke and bind heart problems, diabetes, blood pressure. We rebuke and bind every spirit that wants to come against our physical body. This body got to do what the spirit tell it to do. We are spiritual beings and we walk in power and authority in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood. Hallelujah. We calling on the blood, the power of the blood. Hallelujah. When praise go up, blessings come down. Bless us, God. Touch, heal, deliver, save, anoint in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are all power. Rise up in your glory and your might, God. Rise up, God, to reveal and expose, God. Show yourself, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, God. Bless the pastor. Bless Miss Bell. Bless the ministers and pastors and all the ones that's on the phone line, God. Bless them with longevity and perfect health in Jesus' name. Bless all the pastors, touch, say, and do in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, just bless them, God, in Jesus' name, God. We need you, Lord. Can't do nothing without you. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. Have your way in this study. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Ursula. And to everyone else, again, I apologize. I don't know. I just know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. And so things working together for our good. That's our portion. Good stuff. So we're not worried about what didn't happen, how it didn't happen, all this. I'm not even getting into that with Satan today, because he would love for me to just go there and spend the time talking about that instead of the word of God. So I refuse to do that. Hallelujah. I thank God right now, brothers and sisters, that we're able to get into these scriptures. And I pray that you believe them. You know, God have instructed me to preach to believers. Not everybody, but to true believers. There's all kind of believers, but they don't want to believe in the truth. So the mission that I have, the call on my life, is to teach people truth based on scripture. And I'll probably say that a couple more times too. But we're going back to where we started this week. This week we talked about being part of the heavenly sanctuary, because that's what we've been called to. And we started in, I want to say we started in the 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. I don't know, are you able to read Evangelist Ursula?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
God is faithful to keep his promise. His promise is that we be partners with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have to answer the call. Well, where is his Son at? I'm glad you asked. According to Colossians, well, first we'll go to Hebrews. Hebrews 8 and 1 and 2. So let's go to Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. Remember, there's a call for us to be with Christ at all times, especially such a time as this. So in Hebrews 8 and 1, you want to read that, Vince? Praise God.
Now, this is the main point. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of sanctuary and of true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the true tabernacle. The one that God erected, the one that God built, not man. The true tabernacle, the one God erected and not man. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have to know that we're part of a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, we don't have a past now. Once you become a true believer, you don't have no past. Because he says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The new creation do not have an old past. That stuff died. It died. So when Christ got crucified, that was for you and I. Because we got crucified with him. When he got buried, we got buried. So the call is for us to be with him. And the Bible says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things above where Christ sit and not beneath. Let me tell you what. God wants our fellowship to become a relationship. A lot of people think they can have a relationship without a fellowship. It doesn't work that way. You got to have a fellowship, then a relationship. Our fellowship, the Bible says that he wants us to fellowship with Christ. Well, the Bible just told us that we have such a high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle that the Lord picks. So you're going to have to ask yourself a question today, brothers and sisters. Are you with Christ? And if you are you just with him in words, or are you with him in deeds? See, the point that we want to make, that we have this, we have this kind of chief priest, the chief priest who holds honor and position. Matter of fact, the one next to God, the Father, the one that's in heaven, the one in the true tabernacle. And let me put a pin there, too, because it's something that we really have to pay attention to, brothers and sisters, and we can't afford to overlook this. The first tabernacle, which was the building that God had showed Moses, was what was going to happen once Christ got here. But he couldn't show it to him until, it couldn't become a reality until Christ got here. But he showed it to him and admonished him not to make it any different. Because once Christ got here, this is the way it was going to be. So we have all these examples. So when you read the book of Hebrews, remember, God is explaining to us what had happened. Like the fourth chapter, those that wouldn't believe, boom. They fell by the wayside. See, everybody don't believe because you're following the crowd, that don't mean you believe. And I'm going to tell y'all, too, only a few folk going to believe this stuff. Everybody going to believe it. But they're going to have to die believing this. So when you read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you'll see. But meanwhile, he's showing us what's going on from Hebrews 1. I want y'all to notice this in Hebrews 1. Look what he says. He says, God, who at certain time in divers manners spake in the past unto us through the fathers by the prophet, having these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he have appointed heir over all things, and by whom also he have made the worlds. So Christ is in operation now. The prophet, our forefathers, all those people, it's over with. That stuff is history. But man want to still acknowledge that for some reason or another. But the third verse says this, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged out sin. See, he'd been purged out. Then he sat down on the right-hand side of the Father. The Bible says Christ is made so much better than angels. He has an excellent ministry. So why wouldn't you want to be part of this ministry? No, you will not see it through the optical nerve. Your mind ain't that brilliant. See, we have finite minds. And that's the issue right there. Our minds that tell us we right, yada, 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 this right. But brother and sister, let me tell you what. God want to impart his wisdom, his knowledge, his spirit in us. And the way that's done is through this fellowship. So I'm going to ask Evangelist Ursula if she'll find 1 John, or I John, 1 John. The first chapter, verses 1 and 2, and they show you, God wants fellowship with us. He can't have fellowship and you behind the veil, No, you have to. That's why he rent the veil, so you can come right before the throne room of grace. And this is what he wants us to practice. Okay, in First John,
beginning was the Word. Is this it, Pastor? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
No,
and the Word was.
No, no, we need one John.
Okay.
I John, one John. Hallelujah. And you know, even though that was right what she was saying, but that's showing God is the Word, and that's what he wanted us in his Word.
Amen. That was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. See, that's what he wants us fellowshiping with him.
Amen.
Yeah. See, let me tell you what, brother and sister. Man fellowship is corrupt. They fellowship for other reasons. Maybe for a piece of chicken or shake hand or see what different people got on. That's man kind of fellowship. God fellowship is in the Word of God. So the writer said, that which was from the beginning, well, what was from the beginning? What she read, well, we're going to go right back there now, in St. John 1:1-2. She read it, you know, I know the Lord was leading her because she read it. It just needs to come after this so you can understand. The fellowship is with the Word of God. So in St. John 1:1-2, read that again. Read the four verses.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things was made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Amen. So you see, amen. When you're in darkness, you won't understand it. The darkness can't understand this light. You can try all you want to. Unless you get in that Word, you're going to say, well, I don't understand it. I don't see what you're talking about, preacher. Yeah, because you know what? You're in darkness. But when you come to this marvelous light, for the light, this life he's talking about was manifest. And we've seen it. What did you see? You saw the Word of God come alive. That was the revelation.
Amen.
You saw Christ being the Word of God who was there at the beginning. And so the writer says in 1 John 1, he says, that which we have seen, and you know we heard it, and we heard about it, he says, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. How many people can say, truly, your fellowship is with the Father? You know how you can tell? Because you're fellowshipping in the Word. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
So when we were talking Monday about, you know, the Bible says abide in the Word and the Word abide in us. That's living in the Word. That's where your fellowship is at. So in John 15:7, I'm going to ask her if she'll read that. John 15:7.
Hallelujah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah. So he wants us to live in the Word. The Word abide means to set up residence.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
They're loving that. That's what it means. Like, you really had to move in a house, you're abiding. You plan on staying there. You set up residence.
Hallelujah.
And you don't do it by yourself. You do it in fellowship with the Father. Listen, brothers, mm-hmm. God expects for us to reposition ourselves. Come to his mm-hmm. way of thinking.
Yes, Lord.
You know, when you have fellowship, that means you have the same interests. When you have fellowship, you know, you're saying, okay, well, we have a whole lot in common. See, before you can really have this real relationship, you got to start with the fellowship. So our fellowship has to be with the Father. You start fellowshipping with the Word of God. That's how it becomes real plain. Yes, it's a little process. So but they're showing you to fellowship with God, you have to abide in the Word. And then the other part of that, the Word has to abide in you. It ain't enough for you to read the Word of God. It ain't enough for you to stay in the Word of God. The Word of God needs to stay in you. You stay in it, and it stay in you. And eventually, the Word is a seed.
Ooh,
and it began to come alive in you because you let it live in you. If it don't live, can you imagine you put a seed out there in the ground, and then you go and pick it up every day? No, you got to leave it in there, man. That's what you have to do. You have to leave that Word in there. And it doesn't matter. Well, I don't feel like it's working. You ain't supposed to feel like it's working. You just have to wait. Don't nobody put a seed in the ground and then in 2 weeks, I don't see nothing up there. Let me go dig this thing out. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's absurd. Listen, brothers and sisters. God wants us to fellowship with him. The way you fellowship with him is to attend his ministry. Allow Christ to minister to you. See, you can't have four or five different. You got to have Christ ministering to you. So when you're in the Word of God, that's what he's going to do. Ain't talking about just reading the scripture. Because a lot of people think reading the Word of God, or, man, I read my Word. That's fine. The devil read the Word. Read Matthew 4 and Luke 4. The devil read the Word. Ain't they quote it? So it's no big deal because you read the Word. But can you live in it? That's what the devil can't do. He can't abide in it. Can't live in it. He had an opportunity to live with God when he was in heaven. He couldn't live in that Word. And very few people now can live in it. Because you know what? They think of self more than they do the Word of God. But you have to die and then live unto Christ. That's why he said, now, if you be risen with Christ, your affection, I know I'm saying this stuff, but I'm going to tell you what's that. Now, I ain't going to leave you hanging out there. I'm going to show you right now. Well, where's your affection is at? See, only you can answer that. But in Colossians 3, I think it's 3 and 1 and 2. Find that for me, evangelist. And I appreciate you, too. I appreciate your service. I appreciate you having me. And we're going to continue to lift up Pastor, especially at such a time as this.
Amen.
Where's your affection? Uh-huh. Colossians 3, 1 and 2.
Amen. Hallelujah. Then you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For with Christ, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen.
See, this has to become real, people. That can't be just a bunch of words on a piece of paper. That has to become alive in your spirit. And you begin to do that. And see, that word began to settle in your spirit, man. And you go, whoop, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I got this thing. Now, I'm impregnated with the Word of God. Yeah. And then you'll see it become a reality. Yeah. That's once you die. But as long as you want to keep self above the Word of God, that's like you putting other stuff before the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
You know, our fellowship. That's what I like about this. I said, Lord, why is it that you want us to come here? He said, so you can know what I know. How you gonna commune with somebody and you don't have fellowship? You know, you won't date somebody, for instance. At some point in time, you got to have that fellowship. So you all together and you're talking about stuff and you're enjoying one another. Because, see, fellowship, when you think about it, what that word really means and so forth, it's being friendly to one another, making each other comfortable. People never looked at fellowship like that. But what it does, fellowship is going to be in agreement. How about that one, huh? Being on one accord. How about that one, huh? How about harmony? That's what fellowship is. That's harmony. A lot of people think that's relationship. That's not relationship. That's fellowship. Know the difference. Got to have fellowship, togetherness. Some kind of solidarity. You fellowshipping. You got oneness going on here. You're affirming. So your affection ought to be the same as the Lord. Matter of fact, fellowship could even be companionship. And that's kind of like seal the relationship. Help me, Holy Ghost. You're not married to a system. You're married to Christ. You're one with God. John 15, you don't believe it? Just read it. He said, well, I'm not going to have her to read it so you can see how close this fellowship is. Then you get to the relationship, but you got to get the fellowship going first and not just have it in your mind, but have it in your heart. But in John, St. John 15, read 1-5, 6. We went to 7. So read 1, St. John 15, chapter 15, verses 1-6.
Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatso you desire, and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Isn't
that awesome?
Thank you. Hallelujah.
We have to live in the word of God. He wants intimacy here. That's what he's looking for. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for somebody that's true worshipers. True worshipers. So when you read John in the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter, see, I'm not just going to tell you, I'm telling you where to go find it so you'll see it. In St. John, the 4th chapter, I know it's on the 24th verse, but you might want to start at the 23rd verse. And then we're going to get into the part that this is perfect. This is how you get perfect fellowship. This is how you know you're perfect, because you're in the Father, and the Father's in you, and the Father's perfect. That's how you know what true holiness really is. But in St. John, where is it, 4? St. John 4. Oh, no way. You know, I just thank God for his word, though. I don't care what the devil.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it started at St. John 4. And I want to say we could start at verses. See, when the enemy know
I see 10. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Read that for me. Start about the 20th verse and read to at least the 25th verse. 20th?
Yeah. Okay. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews saw that in Jerusalem, in the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is when, is true, worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen.
Amen. See, this woman had brought up a popular theological issue, the correct place to worship, which a lot of people does today. They want to say, what's the right place to worship?
Amen.
And Jesus, he says, okay, the right place to worship. But her question was a smoking screen to keep Jesus away from her deepest need. And that was, she needed conversation. She needed fellowship, because none of the women wouldn't fellowship with her. See, this was at the high noon. It was around 12 o'clock. A woman had no business getting no water at 12 o'clock in the daytime. All the women would get their water real early. And then, you know, they go and they cook and they bathe and they do all that. Here this woman, midday, with her water. So that she can explain, I'm up here doing the right thing because I'm getting the water from the well. And Jesus said, well, yeah, I understand you worshiping everything, but you don't even know why you up here. And he said, and then she looked at it. So he said, and the Jews, yeah, they're over there in Jerusalem. At least they know that they're there for salvation, but you don't even know why you up here. So Jesus began to tell this woman about her life. But before she gets to all that part, Jesus let her know, hey, there's going to come a time when the Father wants you to worship him in these mountains, nor in Jerusalem. If you want to talk about place, if you want to talk about geographic location. No, it's not this city, that city, that city, not Jerusalem. Because if it was Jerusalem but the right place, we'd all be in bad shape. Yes, sir. If it was on the mountains, we'd all be in bad shape. See, so Jesus was correct in this woman said, well, here's what the Father looking for. Because the Father is a spirit. That's what he is. Like it or not, that's what he is. He's a spirit. And God's spirit means he is not a physical being that's limited to one place. He is present everywhere, and he can be worshipped anywhere. Oh, say that again, preacher. He is everywhere, and he can be worshipped anywhere. See? So it is not where we worship that counts, but how we worship. It's what's important. And that's what Jesus was explaining to this woman. It's how you worship. You got to worship God in spirit and in truth. And then he goes on to say, this is what God's looking for. Now, you ought to be looking for what God's looking for. Why you think you've been called? You've been called to fellowship with God. First of all, have a relationship. Now, learn to fellowship first. You've been trying to have a relationship, fellowship. See, if more people will have fellowship, the relationship will last. Can I say that one more time, preacher? Yeah. Because, see, the fellowship means, yeah, there's an agreement here. A lot of folks can't even agree on their finances. They can't even agree who goes to the bathroom first. Yeah, see, you got to have an agreement here. You got to be on one accord. There need to be harmony. Well, I know you cook a little bit and I cook a little bit. Well, wait a minute. Either we're going to be in the kitchen together, or you go in there first and do your thing, then I go in there first. So you got to have harmony. A lot of homes right now doesn't have harmony because they don't have fellowship in them. You got to have that oneness. You got to have that togetherness. If that makes sense, you got to have that. How you going to have a relationship and you don't have a fellowship? You got to have the fellowship, then the relationship. See? That's the way that works, brothers and sisters. I just wish people would just pump the brakes on trying to have a relationship. Hey, let's make sure we got a little fellowship going on here that we can commune. We can be one. We should, and you know what? As far as the fellowships are developed. Yeah. It's trust. It's trustworthy. You know, you can trust them in this area. You know them like that. So when the troubles seem to come, you're already on top of it. See, once you got a fellowship, then the egos go down. The purpose rises.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. See, because then you say, okay, I know why I'm here. So Jesus was saying to the woman, he was saying to her, And listen, brothers and sisters, because there's some things you got to really realize. They were there for salvation. If all you want is salvation, which a lot of people, well, as long as I get saved, man, forget being saved. That's a worldly thing. You want eternal salvation. If you want some salvation, you want eternal salvation. So that's another reason you need to be in the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter, 1st and 2nd verse, because Christ is eternal salvation, not saved. See, some people just want to be saved temporarily. You know, just like a house burning, you get somebody out the house. Okay, you saved. That's what that means. That's what that. But eternally, are you saved? Are you going to be saved going forward? So you know that once you leave here, you saved. You saving. Now, I know a lot of people, they got these little sins, and I'm very aware of them. I'm five bald, and they go through all these things and everything. But if you're not having fellowship with the Father, and his fellowship is, and the fellowship with other believers, and you are not a partaker, that's what you got to ask yourself. Am I a partaker of this heavenly calling? Can you honestly, truthfully say that, hey, man, my fellowship is with the Father, and I can prove it. You know why? Let me tell you what, brothers and sisters. We have to come to a place that Christ is our high priest, okay? This is something that we got into a little bit this week. I'm just kind of going over some of the things that we have went over this week. I know Thursday, Pastor Bill, she had said some stuff that was real awesome through this Thursday. She had said some things that was really, really profound. Let me say that. And it kind of starts with the covenant that we were talking about. Because, see, when you're making an agreement, that's what that is. It's a covenant. When people get married, people should understand that's a covenant you're making. You're making an agreement. Well, how did that happen? I'm glad you asked. It happened because of the fellowship. In your fellowship, that's how you determine the relationship, because it's all predicated on the covenant, which is the fellowship, bless God. The arrangement, what you're agreeing to. So in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I think it was the first 5 verses we talked about, but we'll read that. Hebrews 9, verses 1 through 5. And so I'll set this up for those that may not know what's going on here, because in the 8th chapter, he's telling us about Christ's ministry, how he is the high priest. So the 9th chapter explaining a little bit of what's going on in the 8th chapter about the true church or the true tabernacle. So that's what's going to go on in the 9th chapter. So let's begin reading, if you will.
Nine what, Pastor?
First verse through the fifth verse.
Okay. Amen. Then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of the divine service and earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censers and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, and which were the golden pots that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. 1-5, amen.
You see, he's explaining the covenant, God's agreement, because he just got through telling them that they weren't keeping the first covenant. So that's why God had to bring another covenant, which really was the first covenant. The first agreement, Moses saw it. He saw the temple. He saw how it was erected and how God had took Aaron's sword and he put it in the cherubim, which were the angels that had heads that looked 24/7 and you didn't miss nothing. He given all the description of the tabernacle, which the true tabernacle. So what Moses did in the church is he pretty much showed what was going on in the church. But he was only based on what he saw in heaven. But they could not actually do it. They could only do a type of. They could only do a pattern of what they saw. So everybody in the Old Testament practiced this. They practiced church stuff. But it didn't become a reality until Christ came. Now, once Christ came, then we don't no longer need the building. That's why God tore it down. And then man wanted to build it back up. Instead of seeking out the true revelation, instead of seeking out what we really are in Christ, what the word says, and live that, the devil still poisoned people's minds. That's why the kingdom of God is suffering right now. The Bible says, now these things were those ordinances that the priest went away into the first tabernacle. It was accomplished the service of God. So when you understand the high priest's job, his job was to minister. Well, Christ is the high priest, man. Why not we let him minister? Why not we get in there with him? Why don't we start fellowshipping with him? And ain't talking about just your praying either. Well, I pray to the Lord. Yeah, a fellowship, you both have to engage. That's why Jesus promised the disciples. Now, I'm going to come back. And y'all going to see me. Lord, how are you going to come back and we're going to see you and the world ain't going to see you? Jesus said, if you believe now, if you're a true believer, he said, I'm going to come back and my Father and I, we're going to make our board with you. And you're going to know. The world ain't going to know, but you're going to know. Because I told you not to be of the world. And I saw something the other day just blew my mind, man. When the Bible talked about worldly churches, man, I've been saying it, but when God showed it to me in his word that he actually said that, it blew me away. It blew me away. But before we go, anybody have anything they want to say? But I do want Pastor Bell to read that little part that she had on Thankful Thursday, if she'd be so kind to do that for us. Hallelujah. We got a few minutes here. Pastor Bill, will you be so kind to read that piece that you read on Thursday for Thankful Thursday?
Good afternoon. Yes, I'll be glad to. And Good afternoon, everyone. Okay.
How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing so much better. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the
Truly
Lord.
Thank each and everyone for your prayers. I'm getting stronger every day. It's just truly a blessing. But this kind of explains the, what Pastor is teaching us on the high priest. And it's, I want to say they use Psalms 147, but I'm going to read it. It says, because a holy God loves sinful people, we have a separation problem. That's why priests were appointed as representatives, and mediators for things like worship, sacrifice, and atonement. And though it worked for a while, it was only a temporary solution. When Jesus showed up, he not only fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies and temple purposes, but he also bridged the gap. No longer was there a need for a temple made of wood or stone, but of flesh and blood. No longer was there a need for, I want to say that's godless sacrifices, because Jesus, the ultimate high priest, had provided godless. Okay. It says, no longer was there a need for godless sacrifice because Jesus, the ultimate high priest, had proved this. Ultimate sacrifice himself. So it's telling us right there, Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. Finally, God's Spirit could now dwell within us and inside of his people. The new and improved temple. That's why Paul asked the Corinthians, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We serve a God who meets they are in the garden, in the wilderness, in the temple, in themselves. So if you're a follower of Christ himself, remember, you are the place where his Spirit now dwells. You are the vessel in which he lives and moves and works and empowers. You are the place where heaven has crashed into earth. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Anyone else have anything they got this week that they want to share? Anything that you may have cut to this week you would like to share? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just want to say, Pastor Bell, it's good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Word at noon, and I pray and thank God for each and every one of you that kept me lifted up in prayer.
Amen.
And I can't call names because I'll forget somebody, so I'm going to say everybody, but thank God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, praise God.
Amen.
So I want to read that high priest from the, Evangelist Ursula read Hebrews 9, 1 through 5. So I want to read it from the Message Bible, Pastor.
Yes, sure.
Okay. That the first plan contained directions for worship and a specially designed place of worship. A large tent was in the table and the bread of presence were placed in it. This was called the holy place. Then a curtain stretched, and behind it a smaller inside tent set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. In it were the place, the gold censer altar, and the gold-covered ark covenant containing the gold urn of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the covenant tablet, and the angel wing shadow mercy seat. But we don't have time to comment on those now. And it goes on, I wanted to, this must be verse 6, it says, after this was set up, the priests went about their duties in the large tent. Only high priests entered the smaller inside tent, and then only once a year, offering a blood sacrifice for his own sins and the people's accumulated sins. This was the Holy Spirit's way of showing with a visible, long as a large tent stands, people can't just walk in on God. And I'm going to stop right there because, I got to thinking about that. Oh, we would be in bad shape today if this was really set up and we still had to go through that. And so I'm just thankful that Jesus came, that he gave his life for us, and that he fulfilled it. Because like it says, he is our high priest. And we can go to him anytime. We don't have to wait for once a year. We can go to him anytime, wherever we are. And so, thank God for the new sanctuary, that we don't have to wait once a year to ask God to forgive us for any sins that have been committed. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen. Yeah. And what he's showing us, too, and thank you so much, Pastor, for all of that. Listen, brother, this has to become real to you. Just like they would get the blood of bulls and ox and ashes of a heifer, and they brought it to the, we have to take our offering to Christ, and he's at the right-hand side. That becomes our sanctuary, not the sanctuary in the sanctuary. Christ is our sanctuary. He's our true tabernacle, Hebrews 8 say. So all they're doing is just teaching us what it was and what it is and what it is to come. That's what Hebrews teaching us. But anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else? If not, thank you again, Evangelist Ursula, and thank you, Pastor, for bringing that out. And hey, y'all, we'll see y'all tomorrow for